Jilly Revel on Talk Radio Europe.
Sitting in for Hannah Murray, and from hot sunny Spain up to, I'm not sure what it's doing in Scotland right now, my next guest is David Fraser. Hello.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine now. My computer screen tells me I'm talking to Perth and Kinross area. So have you got glorious blue skies there?
Actually. It's a cracking day here, yes.
Oh, nice.
A lovely day in rural Perthshire. Not probably quite as warm as where you are, I don't imagine, but it's a lovely day nevertheless.
Well, I could do without some of the heat, actually. Now you've made a bit of a name for yourself as being a relationship guru, David. Is this because you made so many mistakes as a blundering youth, or it's always been a subject close to your heart?
Well, a bit of both, really. I think the story really began about 10 years ago when my boss at the time said, David, there's certain things you're doing are holding you back. I can't tell you what they are, but certain things are holding you back. And of course, well, thanks very much, that is really helpful. Now, I'm actually exaggerating a bit for the sake of the story, but nevertheless, he didn't really give me very many clear pointers, and some years went by without me really coming up with much of an answer. And then about 5 years ago, more for personal reasons, because I got my marriage in a bit of a mess, I ended up learning the skills that I put in the book, and it sorted me out at home, and I also thought this is a great answer to the challenge of building relationships that we need in our work and in our businesses and so on. And I thought, this could do to be written up. It's not available in quite that form anywhere else. And 5-6 years later, the job's done, the book's out there, and on we go, basically.
Called The Seven Deadly Sins, yes?
Well, the book's called Relationships Made Easy, yes.
Yes.
And The Seven Deadly Sins is, if you like, just a story that we've developed from that. Picking out seven of the things that we do tend to do wrong, makes mistakes that we make that really hold us back in our lives. And the thing that I learned, and it sounds like common sense in a way, but the ability to relate to other people is really the most critical skill we can ever have, and the quality of our lives is really determined by how well we get on with other people. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be difficult. It can be difficult, but we can actually learn to be more effective at it, and that's what I've written about.
You do actually say that women tend to be more savvy at the relationship game than men. Do you see women buying this book and then giving it to their men?
it's interesting what happens there. Because of the way it is, often women will put their hands up first, say, yes, I'm interested in this sort of thing. But interestingly, sometimes their partners and so on will notice what they're reading it and realize that I've written it from a fairly sort of systematic perspective, I'm an engineer, so it's a sort of almost an engineer's perspective. Now, that might sound like an odd thing, but what it means is there's a structure to it, and that actually seems to make it appeal to the guys as well.
I read you're a yacht master, so it must be awfully useful if you're going out on a sea voyage not to have a mutiny at sea.
Well, definitely, yes. Well, out on a sailing boat is a good place to practice these sort of things, because if you get it wrong, you really get it wrong. So
let's run through some of these seven deadly sins then. Now, number one I've got written down here is just simply to ignore the importance of relationship skills. Is this quite common, do you think?
Well, I think we tend all to treat it as just something in the background. We're unconscious of it. We don't think about it very much. And my first kind of message in there is saying, well, look, it's actually a good idea to give it a bit of thought, because if we're stuck with something, if our job isn't going quite the way we would like, or we're having more arguments than we would like at home or something, then having a think about how we're relating to other people might be a very good place to start. And rather than treating it as something that we can't do anything about, it is something that we can do something about. And not only that, it might actually be the easiest way to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And then second sin, believing that we actually are, personally, don't have anything to learn.
Mm. Well, yeah, and it's kind of, well, you can believe that if you like, sort of thing. But, of course, it's a life skill, so it's also a lifelong learning thing. We never finish learning. I'm still learning every day about this, but it's something. We do make mistakes, obviously, but in a way the issue is, well, how do we get skillful at moving on from our mistakes so as we can get ourselves out of the sticky situations we get ourselves into?
Now, an awful lot of people, they'll have noticed this in their friends, even if they don't recognise it in themselves, aware of the other person being too self-centred, and they're not focusing really on what the other person needs and wants as well.
Yes, well, we tend to grow up pushing for what we want, as children are like that, and as teenagers and then young adults, we tend to be like that. But there comes a point where we need to realise, or it certainly helps to realise, that in order to get what we want, we need to help other people get what they want, and often we need to do that first. That was certainly a big learning for me. When I was about 40, I actually realised that in fact, to have the kind of family situation that I wanted, I was going to have to shift my focus a bit away from my needs and more onto the needs of the people around me.
It's also very easy to always say, well, it's someone else's fault, isn't it?
Yes.
You named it the blame game.
It's sort of comfortable to blame other people, but the problem with that is it disempowers us, really. We then, okay, so it's, supposing we say it is somebody else's fault, well, now what? And the thing is, we can actually only sort of change ourselves. So if we want something different to happen, we really have to assume that we need to go first. Because if we wait for other people to go first, we might wait a while, really. And one little aspect of this that's worth highlighting is it's great to take responsibility for the effect of our communication. So if we say something and the other person doesn't seem to understand, rather than blaming them and saying, well, they didn't get it, we'll do much better if we say, all right, okay, I can't have been adequately clear about that, let me try again another way. Now that might sound like a little thing, but if we take on that kind of policy all day, every day, it makes a huge difference.
I mean, it's quite similar as your fifth one, which is judging others by our own standards, but you've really got to respect the way that others just might have the right to see things differently.
Well, they absolutely do. I mean, and that's one of the key things is to respect how other people see things. And that's, of course, if you're dealing with different cultures around Europe and things like that, you know, then that's particularly true.
Yeah, with world politics, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shame more diplomatists don't perhaps engage that one. Number six, not even really knowing ourselves. Do we recognise our bad points as well as our good ones?
Well, we're sort of unconscious of the things that we do all the time. We have these habits, you know, we habitually do lots of things almost on autopilot, if you like, and they don't always serve us terribly well. And the people around us know us much better than we know ourselves often. They can see all these things going on. So a great thing to do is to put ourselves in other people's shoes and to sort of take a look at ourselves and think, okay, what do we like? And we will like some things. And what do we think, not so happy with that aspect? What could I change to get?
That's probably one of the hardest things, isn't it? And I love your last one, which is, the winner takes all, or do they?
Well, it's tempting to think that if we get what we want in the short run and somebody else doesn't get what they want, we might feel that we've won. But in my experience anyway, we come undone in the end if we do that. You know, if we win at somebody else's expense, we may well end up regretting it. Even if there's no immediate consequence, we just think, well, that wasn't really very fair, and that can stay with us a long time. And really, it's better to find the point of balance between one person and another, because that's how relationships really start to flow, whether that's at home or at work. You know, if it's a business relationship, then a sort of balance between the two interests is going to be vital.
Now, let's get on to your personal life, David. I mean, you've mentioned that, you know, you sorted out private life. I'm not going to get that personal. But more how you've applied these things to yourself, because I gather you've now got a track record of pioneering new approaches to old problems, and you're involving with major projects for governments and so on.
Yes. Well, my work, if you like, my day job, if you like, is really working with organisations where there are different organisations, things like public-private partnerships and that sort of thing, where you've got different cultures, different values and things like that. And I do a kind of project, a kind of combination of project management and mediation, which, what does that mean? Well, it means getting difficult stuff done for people when they don't have time to lead it themselves, and typically where people need to be brought together to achieve a common goal.
So you are using diplomacy in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very much so. And it's really, the key to that is finding out what matters to all the people involved. What is it they all individually want? And then finding a way to organise the common effort so as they all get at least some of what they want. And then to organise things in the weeks and months to come so that they're all still getting some of what they want and so they stay on board with the thing. And actually, that's the principle that's pretty much underpinned the forming of the coalition in UK government just over the last couple of weeks. to organise things so as everybody gets a bit of what they want. They don't get everything, but they get a bit of what they want.
There must be days then you just want to either kind of pound your fist into a block of wood, reach for a wee bevy, or or do you have absolutely bottomless well of patience?
No. Certainly not. No. And I make mistakes just like anyone else. But that's more what happens when I forget to apply what I've written about rather than when I do. You know, and one of the keys actually is to sort of build our resourcefulness for situations. And a great way to do that is just to work on being calm actually, and to treat that as a precious kind of resource, you know, of calmness, and there are various ways to do that, you know, and sitting in the sun, relaxing in either the Mediterranean area or in central Persia is probably quite a nice way of doing that.
Well, it has its moments, but you prefer to really work in the world of industry, presumably, rather than industrial disputes must be horrendous, of course, if you were trying to sort out BA, shall we say, just to name one example.
Well, yes. I mean, yeah. Clearly, there are challenges there, and a lot of these industrial situations, particularly the ones that end up in the media, are clearly very complex. And one of the difficulties of commenting on them is that we don't really know exactly what's going on, so we kind of hesitate to venture into that really. But yes, my work is a lot of it is corporate work, but I also work with individual people who realise that they would really like to have some more skills for building the relationships that they need, whether that's at work or at home. So I do personal stuff as well. And one of the things that is a great kind of get a great kick out of this, or one of the great benefits is knowing that you've provided something that's really made a difference to people.
Mm. So Relationships Made Easy, that's the name of your book.
That's right. Yes.
How can people get hold of it, do you think?
Well, I think Amazon is probably going to be the easiest thing, or for me directly. There's a relationshipsmadeeasy.info site, info for information, which lists some of the information we've been talking about, and also the book is available there. So.
And you also run workshops, I believe, and coaching programs too for...
Yes. Around Europe a little bit as well, yeah. I'm doing an event in Paris in a couple of weeks' time, for example.
Oh, so we could get your Scottish skin to maybe risk getting peeled and burnt, and someone invite you down here too.
There's some dreadful warnings in the media today about that. Actually.
Men don't look at their skin, do they? It's men again.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, indeed. Well, we're always slightly behind the curve. You know, so.
Us old hands down here in Andalusia, we sit in the shade.
Yes, smart move, I think. Yeah.
Well, have a lovely rest of bank holiday up there in Scotland. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the programme, and we'll be putting your book details also on our Talk Radio Europe website.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming.
Bye-bye.